Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, it's time to get real. Oh, yeah. It's a new experience. Yeah, keep your ears open for this one, man. You got a question for RLM? Yeah, it's time to get some answers, baby.
Reality Spirituality. I'm your host, Rebecca Lynn Norrington. Thank you for listening. Thank you for sharing. Send in your questions. You can email me at info@RebeccaNorrington.com. My website is RebeccaNorrington.com. Twitter is RL Norrington. Instagram, Reality Spirituality. Facebook is Reality Spirituality. So go to Reality Spirituality on Facebook and like it. I am available for speaking. I'm available for workshops. I'm available for weekend workshops, day workshops. Contact me at info@RebeccaNorrington.com. Lord have mercy, that's a lot. I like to do all the selling thing at the beginning of the show because, honestly, I'm just not into the selling. I need a marketer, anybody out there. If you know of anyone, I need to be marketed because one person isn't going to do it. I had an assistant a while ago, and who knows? You know, people come and go in your lives, and for what reason? Who knows? I'm not even going to try to figure out anymore. Who am I? Let's get to the real nitty gritty. I am a self-proclaimed happiness specialist, and what that means is, from a very early age, I remember teenage years. I always wanted two things. When I made my wish before my birthday, before I blew out the candles in the cake, when I throw money into a fountain, you know, making a wish, I always wished for the same two things. And for my regular listeners, sorry to have to hear this story for another millionth time. But it's important because it's where I started. And I always wished for the two things. I wanted, number one, to live to my potential. That's all I wanted, live to my potential. I had no idea what that meant. I didn't know what that was going to look like. I had nothing specific planned. But I said I want to live to my potential. Number two, I wanted to be happy. I wanted to be happy. And what, you know, that wanting to be happy, that whole programming of wanting to be happy, meaning that happiness is the be-all and end-all. And I'm here to tell you that happiness is more than that little word, H-A-P-P-Y. It's a lot more than that. And that is what I've discovered, and I am still discovering. Every single day is a journey. Every single day for me is a challenge, because if I say, hey, I'm the world's only happiness specialist, I better walk it. I am the person that walks it in every single moment. And I, listen, I'm not over here in the middle of the forest skipping through tulips. Life happens to me too, my dear audience. Life happens to me too. And for today's show, well, we usually start with what's in the news. So let me start with what's in the news. And then after that, and I like to relate what's in the news to practices that will either add or subtract from your happiness. Everyday practices, everyday behaviors that either add and subtract from your happiness. And so I relate that to a story, a big story that's in the news every week. That's my new thing. I hope I remember to keep doing that because I kind of like it. And later, the topic of today's show is your beliefs, all of your beliefs. Think about it. Think about them right now. I want you to start writing them down on a piece of paper, what you believe, what you believe to be true. And then I want you to ponder about this need to be right. Okay, so we're talking about beliefs, and when I say beliefs, I mean the beliefs that, okay, if we're talking politics, then Democrats are fill in the blank. You know, we've got a preconceived notion about who and what Democrats are, and then Republicans are another preconceived notion about. You know, it's really these beliefs that we have. And I want to challenge you to either loosen your grip on your beliefs, or be open to expanding your beliefs. It's really easy to say and a little bit harder to practice. And the number to call in today to speak with me live is area code 646-564-9619, area code 646-564-9619. And I have a few people in the queue. If you want to speak with me, just press the number 1. So, again, starting from claiming to be the world's only happiness specialist, one of my duties is to share with you what I've learned, how to stay rooted in knowing, trusting, being peaceful, being content, feeling this vibration of satisfaction. It is a practice, folks. It's more than just wanting it. It is a daily practice, just like you have any other practice. Say you're a musician, a pianist, or a surgeon, or a lawyer, or a writer, or even a waiter. Everything that happens in this, you know, our skills, we develop our skills only by practicing them. And it is a practice. You want to have this feeling, this sense of contentment, this sense of satisfaction, regardless of what's happening, and that's the key. It doesn't matter what is happening. What matters is your vibration, your reaction, how is your energy flowing in every moment. That's the real key. And the only thing, I'm just going to speak for myself, the only thing that grabs me and throws me off my course, and let me tell you something, this grabbing me and throwing me off the course happens all the time, is when I let that ego, that mind, that critical voice, you know, that voice that something's wrong, something needs to be changed, something needs to be different. This reality that I'm experiencing is, oh God, no, not this. Wanting a preference as opposed to accepting and flowing with what's going on. That ego, let me tell you something, people, now, I'm not hating on the ego. No hate here. I'm just recognizing what it does, and it is constant. The mind, the ego is constant. It never lets go, never takes a vacation, never rests. never sleeps and is slick and can come at me at so many different angles that I don't even recognize it. One of my favorite things to practice is rejoice quickly and recover quickly. So in any moment, I'm not going to get too high and I'm not going to get too low, because it is a balance. You know, this universe, this the nature is all balanced. There's our highs, meaning turbulence, hurricanes, and there are lows where there's just all, there's nothing. Like from get to the bottom of the ocean, all you feel is just peace and darkness and just space. Let's get to what's in the news today. What's in the news, before I get into the beliefs and the need to be right topic? What was in the news this week, people? What was in the news yesterday? What was in the news the last couple of days? And I have to say, I'm raising my left hand right now. I have to say, I was watching. Of course, I taped it. You know, I fast forward through all of the extra stuff. But I did. For some reason, it's the girl in me. It's the Cinderella story. It's the fairy tale. Yes, I wanted to see the wedding, the dress, the pomp and circumstance, the whole ceremony of it. And from time to time, Lord have mercy, this happiness specialist found herself, I'm not ashamed to admit it, judging what, you might ask, making a judgment about everybody else that is looking at this story of this man and this woman, and they're getting together. I'm talking about the royal wedding, in case somebody's coming from another planet. I'm talking about the wedding between Harry and Markle. Yes. Anyway, it was a huge on all the channels, and I remember watching, getting up at the middle of the night to watch Princess Diana's wedding. Now, my vibe at that time, what was that, 20 years ago? I lose track of time. But my vibe with that was very different than my vibe with this wedding yesterday. And that's something else I want you to pay attention to. Your growth. What is that? Excuse me. I can't accept any phone calls right now. I'm trying to do a show. Lord have mercy. Hold on a second, audience. How do I mute that? Oh, okay, good. Okay, where was I? Oh. The vibe was totally different. You see, it's reality, spirituality. Life happens. Middle of a radio show, you get phone calls from somebody you haven't heard from in 6 months and dying to pick up the phone. Anywho, I digress. So I remember before I got married, people, I was so into the fairy tale. I grew up, you know, with the Disney stories, with the musical West Side Story, with the Seven Brides for Seven Brothers, you know, that era where I'm telling you, it is about the princess being swept away by the prince. And what is it? What is it that I thought and believed so deeply and so passionately? I wonder if you believe this too, or believed this too. I believed in I'm going to live happily ever after. Raise your hands if you fell into the trap of that storybook, happily ever after. Mm-hmm. I remember looking at the wedding between Prince Charles and Princess Di. I remember looking at that wedding and just with a, what's the word? With a longing to have that type of relationship, beautiful ceremony, and all of that. And this programming, this deep, deep programming that one person is the answer for the rest of my life, for the rest of your life, is really a setup for failure. And let me explain why. Anytime I have to just say I, because I'm not gonna speak for you, my dear audience. Anytime I buy into a programming, happily ever after, what I'm doing is I'm actually putting the relationship into a box. And if one person steps out and takes their toe and their arm is out of the box, then I blow everything up and it's over. Or I want a person. See, this is who I used to be. I wanted that person to change. I saw flaws. I saw ways of improvement in the other person. I saw a way that the other person could improve. And it was such a deep belief that I had, such a deep belief that I could help change someone, or I could help someone else to see or give someone else a message. And I have to say that was, you know, looking back, the word arrogant comes to mind. Now, my intentions were good. My intentions were, okay, this person needs to change for A, B, and C reason. It's going to make them better, or they're going to feel better, or whatever reason I gave. But folks, I'm here to tell you, letting that go was one of the hardest beliefs that I had to let go. I mean, I thought I could save the world. The problem with that belief of looking at someone else and seeing what they need to do and how they need to grow and how they need to change circles all the way back to me. An elephant is not bothered by a flea or a gnat. The only way that I can accept other people or their beliefs, what they, you know, how they're living their life, what they're doing, the only way is by accepting that we're all different. We're as different as our fingerprints. We're all different. And they are on a specific, they are on their own personal journey. Now, I'm getting. But let's take it a step further. Let's take it a step further. And what if I look at that person, and I'm pointing my finger out there. So I'm like looking at that person. I'm looking out. And this is going to be a stretch. So hold on with me. Stay with me. What if I could magically get into their skin and be them? Okay, follow me on this one. I can be them. I can see what they see. I can feel what they feel. I have an understanding of why they are acting and reacting and behaving the way they're behaving and saying what they're saying is because of maybe what they learned and their beliefs and their program beliefs. And listen, two people can be raised in the same family and they're still different. So it's really specific. So I'm challenging you to when you look at someone else and you think that they're all off or there's something wrong. I mean, come on. I was watching that wedding yesterday and looking and listening to the comments and about the things that all surface. This is what I was saying. Nobody's deep. Everybody's talking about what's on the surface. What are the real issues in life? was a real relationship that nobody goes deep. That was my judgment yesterday. I had to catch myself having a criticism for people, you know, that really are enjoying. They are enjoying a wedding, and they don't even know the people involved. I mean, and so what? Can I applaud them for that, as opposed to judging that they're not deep enough? No, please don't tell anybody that I shared this. Please, don't share this. If I'm feeling off balanced, off kilter, I like to say a pea is under the mattress. I know that you know where I have to go, my dear audience, you know where I have to go? Right to the mirror. All of my answers, all of my solutions are right in the mirror. And I had to listen, and this is where I lose people. This is where I lose my audience. This is where I lose my students. This is where I lose, this is where the glaze comes over the eyes. What do you mean I have to look in the mirror? What do you mean it's on me? These people running the country, it's not them. It's me? Question mark? This week, now we're getting into the topic, beliefs and need to be right. This week, I was driving out of this area that I live in, and there is a security gate. And as I was driving out there, and the security gate, one of the doors has been open for a while, so it's broken. And so the door going out was open, and I'm driving out, and all of a sudden, I see a man on the right side by the gate, and I'm almost through the gate. Well, I'm coming toward the gate, and the gate starts to close. There is no way to stop and go back or go forward. My only option was to go forward because it was happening so fast. I was halfway out, the gate was closing, and bam, it hit my car. So the gentleman that was out by the gate, he was actually there to repair it. Now, the car is brand new. It's a brand new car, number one. And the gate closed on the car, and there was significant damage. You know, it's a metal gate, significant damage to the right rear side of the car. Now, let me tell you something. Because of what I practice on a daily basis, this was a walk in the cake to me. The event, the accident, was a piece of cake. Let me tell you. I got out of the car, and the gentleman, the technician was there, and he was looking at me, and all he could do was just look at me. You know, he's waiting for my response or my reaction. Oh, my gosh. I'm looking outside, and there's a huge deer. Oh, my goodness, there's a deer in the backyard. Lord have mercy, I'm telling you, I'm in the middle of the forest, and I'm living in a zoo with no cages, people, and it's really a challenge for a city girl to live in the middle of a zoo, in a zoo with no cages. Okay, back to the story. So the technician is looking at me, and I get out of the car, and I look at the damage. I said, what are you going to do? He said, I'm trying to fix the gate, and it was closing on me, and I couldn't stop it. I said, it's just a car. It's, folks, because of what I practiced, it was, who cares? Brand new car. Who cares damage? I mean, it's a car. It's an accident. These things happen. My vibration, listen, I'm giving myself a pat on the back on this one. My vibration didn't budge from high to low. And with that said, that's what I'm sharing with you. When you practice, first of all, when you make a commitment, that you want to feel peace at all times. And peace is the number one, not number two, not number three, not number four. Number one commitment in all of your moments. You will get to a place where life will happen and you're just going to be strolling on a raft, just floating down the river and experiencing life happening without any judging. So the technician was looking at me and very appreciative. I said, it's an accident. Accidents happen. You know, what's the company you work for? I'll contact them. Sure enough, did. And the woman on the phone, oh, I'm so sorry that happened. And I said, listen, I'm not one of those wackos, at least not with this particular incident. I'm not one of those wackos that's going to go off and get angry over an accident. Who cares? And I was met with by the woman that answered the phone and the technician. You could feel that it was one of those, well, this doesn't happen often. And it's not, trust me, I'm not up here, oh, God, you're so wonderful. No, because I do have my challenges, but the more you choose, commit to feeling peace, the more peace you are going to bring into this world. The more you are going to contribute peace into the world. You can't contribute anything into the world if you're up and down and I mean, you can, but that's what you're going to be contributing. So that was my first story about that. And then the same day, listen to this, the same day, I went into a lounge. Now, in Oregon, there's a lot of, there's gambling in a lot of restaurants. They have slot machines where you can gamble. And so I went into the lounge area, and they also served breakfast. And I was sitting in the lounge, and an elderly couple came in. Well, I'm not going to say elderly. They're probably my age. Anyway, a couple came in. I don't know why I keep thinking I'm 30. A couple came in, and you know, I'm starting, they're sitting across from me. Good morning. I started chatting it up. And to find out that, when I say chatting it up, you know, I like to engage in conversation. Not all the time, but I like to engage in conversation with strangers because I learn so much about people. Especially being in a different state, and especially there's a big difference with people that are born and raised in Oregon and people that are born and raised in California. There just is. I mean, I'm finding there's just a big difference. So I'm curious. So this couple, the husband, he was talking about the state of the world, and he brought up Democrats and how the Democrats are ruining, what did he say, Democrats are ruining, what did he say, okay, because they just came back from a trip to San Francisco, that's what it was, and the Democrats and the liberals are ruining the state and the country. He specifically was talking about visiting San Francisco, and there are people that have their needles, and they're shooting up right on the street, and San Francisco was just, you know, gone to the dogs because of the liberals and the Democrats, blah, 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 blah. Now, the wife was listening to him, and she said, oh, don't talk politics, don't talk politics. And I'm just listening because that belief that this gentleman had and offered, I have a question for you. Do you think I could have changed that belief for him? Do you think I could have given him examples of where that belief wasn't true? Would he change his belief? And you scratch that. I'm asking you, my dear audience, forget the gentleman that we don't know. Who knows what he would do? I'm asking you, if you have a belief that you know to be true, it is so ingrained, so rooted, Can you possibly change any of those beliefs? Now, so he said all of that, and I'm listening, and I said, so you think every single person is okay with having free needles and whatever else he said? I didn't say anything because I already know better. And being a happiness specialist, I know when to engage and I know when to just listen. I know when to accept and I know when to just let these people believe whatever they want to believe. It's called, I wrote it in my first book, it's called My Opinion is your Opinion, and I'm good with that. I don't need to be right. You can believe whatever you want to believe about Democrats. Because I used to do the same thing. I had my beliefs about different parties, about the liberals, about the Democrats, about the Republicans. I believe the same things. But I'm here to tell you that just because you believe them and just because they're rooted doesn't mean that they're, number one, serving you, and number two, are they right? Are they even true? And when I say serving you, I mean serving your inner being, serving you and bringing you peace. See, if your beliefs aren't bringing you any peace, then I suggest you need to change them. But that's just me. Back to the couple. So, you know, and then the wife just kind of scolded him. No, don't talk politics. And then they were talking about the drug use and drugs and how. Oh, that's right. And then, so now we're on to drugs and liberals want people to use, have free needles, on and on and on, Democrats free needle. And then they started talking about marijuana. And the wife said that marijuana is a gateway drug and it leads to more drugs. Now, I have a different belief than that. I believe that's an individual thing, and I don't believe that marijuana is a culprit. It, you know, has a bad rap. I mean, I smoke marijuana from time to time, and I've never, ever done any hard drugs. But so what it still goes back to that belief, and then I looked at her, and I just couldn't bite my tongue. I said, I don't think that marijuana, listen to this, you ready? I don't think that marijuana leads to those harder drugs. There's an example, I'm an example, and before I even got that out, and while I was saying it, I instantly went into what I practice all the time is allow these people to believe whatever the heck they want to believe. Because for whatever reason, they have experienced whatever they've experienced, and I can't, unless somebody is asking and is open and is wanting to believe something different, there is no peace from having that kind of conversation. When you are texting with someone, and let's just go back to somebody that you care about, somebody that you love, you know, friend, loved one, there is an energy to every time you text. There is an energy of, is this, and what I'm talking about having conversation. I'm talking about going back and forth with somebody. I'm talking about arguing with your loved one. That's what I'm talking about. This back and forth wanting and needing to be right and going back and forth with somebody that you care about, or so maybe it could be somebody on the street. What's the point? The question comes, and I have a few people that want to speak with me. Hold on a second. Oh, I lost my track of time. Lost my point, my train of thought. The question comes, oh, hold on a second. Hold on. Let me just go to the phones. You are live on Reality Spirituality. What's your first name?
You, Rebecca, it's Robert.
Hello?
Hello. Hello, Rebecca.
Oh, is this Robert?
Robert?
Hi, Robert.
Yes, it
I don't know why I never. Well, I recognize the 919, but okay. Hi, Robert. This is my buddy all the way from the East Coast, close to the East Coast. Robert Sharp, welcome to Reality Spirituality, Robert. What's going on?
Well, I've been listening. You know, when I agree with you that you can't change anyone's beliefs, you know, it's up to them to change their own beliefs. When you were talking with the couple and mm-hmm. you, you know, they expressed their opinion about marijuana being a gateway, blah, blah, blah. You know, I think that, you know, holding back and not expressing your beliefs is a disservice to you. And, you know, now I'm not saying that, you know, I mean, you can have a lively conversation and the end result would most likely neither of you changing each other's beliefs, but without expressing your opinion, I mean, we basically change our beliefs after we educate ourselves, become more aware, hearing contrary information, contrary experiences. You know, that's how beliefs are changed. So without providing a source for that contemplation, you deny them the opportunity to change their beliefs if again, they were open to it.
You know, I listen, I've told you this before, but I love when you challenge me. I need it. I really need it because it gives me, so thank you for that. And it gives me the opportunity to even to explain even more. Okay, you ready?
Okay, I'm ready. Everyone's ready.
So I have a question for you. Do you use your intuition at all during the day with people?
Of course.
Or with circumstances?
Yeah.
I mean, can you feel out a person? Can you, without even talking to them, can you get a sense of who this person is by using your intuition?
Yes.
Okay.
Often. Mm-hmm.
And so I can too. And I can feel when people are open, and I can feel when they're not.
Right.
And you're absolutely right. If I had a feeling, a sense of openness and of a willingness to listen, I would definitely go into it and voice my opinion, definitely. But when I get a sense, and I'll give you, and there's something that happened after that, the couple, there was another woman anyway, I'll get to that a little bit later, but there is a sense, and there is a strong feeling, a strong vibe of people that I know that I'm going to say they're closed.
Right.
And I can feel that. So for me, and I'm talking about just for me, to attempt to give them my thoughts and my what I believe to be the truth, or my beliefs, let me just say that, my beliefs, it would be just like me talking to a wall. Now, listen, and Robert, I have talked to so many walls in my life that it doesn't make me feel good. It doesn't make me feel peaceful. It feels like I have an agenda, see?
Right.
When I have an agenda, this is me, wanting to change or want, in my agenda, I have an agenda, even if it's a conversation or I want them to hear my side, my agenda, that's very unsettling for me.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I could feel that whatever I say wasn't going to make a difference. And I even said to her, I said, No, I don't think that. But no, when the door is closed, I can feel the door is closed. Now,
right.
It's okay if you want to knock on doors, closed doors.
Right.
But I've done enough of it,
Right.
Yeah,
and,
go ahead.
You know, and I understand, yes, I understand that, yes, walls never answer back, you know. But you know, the one point that I was not, and I understand, you know, with your, you know, clarification about that, you know, you kind of did a response, but then almost immediately you kind of got that resistance. You know, and you know that, and that's definitely a sign to stop. And you know, there's no use. Anything you'll say, et cetera, et cetera. But and you know, the fact that you even tried to engage is a demonstration of you basically kind of giving an insight to your beliefs. So you know, my point is just that, you know. There's a time when a lack of response to someone, you talk about brick walls. I mean, I'm in South Carolina. This is just like a fortress of brick walls around here. So, you know, but there comes a time when
are you talking about rednecks?
Well, you know, I don't know about the color of their necks, but yeah, you know, just in beliefs that are, you know, run very contrary to mine. But staying silent and not speaking your truth when someone confronted with something that is just, you know, so contrary to your beliefs, to me is, and you don't say anything. It's a sense of you're agreeing with what they're saying, and if it's for me, if it's, you know, so contrary, you know, to my beliefs, and I just have to call it out. I mean, I just basically, this isn't, you know, and it's, I believe this. You can go ahead and believe what you want, but I believe in this, you know, and it's just, I feel that it's important for me to let them know that I don't agree with them. And this is exactly how I don't agree with them. And to me, it's a sense of being authentic, you know, and not allowing them to pigeonhole me into them thinking that I believe with, I'm in, you know, in agreement with their beliefs.
Okay, so let me try it again, and let me say this: I didn't disagree with anything they said.
Mm-hmm.
I did not
okay.
disagree with it. And so I did disagree with the marijuana causing gateway
mm-hmm.
drugs.
The gateway.
But the other thing, listen, this whole political party back and forth, I used to be a part of that whole thing.
Right.
There are,
right.
they're all, anybody that looks at someone else and you're all wrong, and the other people, you're all wrong, I'm not into that. I'm not into, you know what it is, honestly, Robert,
right.
I'm not into groups anymore. I'm not into,
uh-huh.
into being in a group. I'm not in a group, a political group. I'm not in a club. I'm not in. I just causes. No,
right.
no causes for
right.
me anymore. No causes. But I do understand. Let me tell you something. I do understand, and I hear and I feel what you're saying. I feel that this is really, really important to you. And where I have a slightly different. Perspective on it, it's not important to me. See, and what's
okay.
important to somebody, and what's important mm-hmm. to someone else, and I'm gonna let me just hit this hard, because this was a really hard lesson for me. What I saw in the world and I thought was important, I wanted my people, my loved ones, my people, whoever they are, I wanted them to see that that was important too. And I just,
mm-hmm.
it's just not that's just not important to me. And if it's not important to me, I am not going to, but I hear and I feel that it's important to you, and I get it, because a lot of people have things that they believe that are really, really important. And the most important thing for me is to be accepting and be peaceful of all people, regardless
right.
of what
I
they
understand.
Believe,
mm-hmm.
which is way out there. Trust me, it's way out there. But
no,
so
yeah, it's not, you know, it's not way out there. You know, acceptance and not being judgmental, you know, is very it's very important. But I will ask you, as the happiness specialist, is happiness
mm-hmm.
an important thing for you?
Mm-hmm. Is happiness important for me?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Well, being at
is
peace
it a belief?
Is important for me in every moment. Yes. Whatever
okay.
I have to do to be peaceful is my number one, which includes agreeing and being okay and being silent.
Okay.
Which you know, listen, there was a very famous person on this planet who was asked to speak out and, hey, don't be silent. What's the truth? Are you the king of the Jews? And blah, blah, blah. And he didn't say one word. You know, he got crucified, but he didn't say one word. And it's that I'm over having to say anything to prove anything to anybody. I'm just over that. I used to do that. I'm just over it now. For me, I grew out of it. Let me share one
okay.
more story really quick. First of all, you know, what you brought up is really, I get chills. I'm getting chills because it's so important, Robert, because I understand where you're coming from. I understand how moved when people are making comments. What if somebody's calling, you know, listen, this is my show, I can say whatever I want. Somebody calling somebody a nigger, somebody's calling somebody a name. See, that
mm-hmm.
that word, when you bring all the power back, when
right.
you bring all the power back to self, it really comes to what these people are saying have the ability to push my buttons, and I need
right.
to express, and I need to react, and I need to let them know how I feel, because they have the power to push my buttons. That's really
right.
what's happening. And I'm here to tell you that if I have any buttons, it's not because of anybody else. So,
right. Now, I just
yeah.
want to say, you know, with that example
well,
that you gave, with that mm-hmm. example that you gave, I have a very personal experience with that, with someone in their 80s who constantly said that in my presence. Every single time I let it be known that that was not acceptable in my presence. And I, whether I changed that person or not, I didn't really care. For me, it was just not appropriate. You know what I mean? And you know, they can do it anywhere, with anyone else. But when I'm around, no, absolutely not, because it runs completely contrary to my beliefs. And no, and I wasn't out to prove anything. I was simply stating for me, it was unacceptable. And if it meant not being in the presence, fine. But I wasn't going to remain silent, because silence to me in that situation is acceptance and concurrence. And I absolutely did not, would not, and could not.
Mm. Oh,
so.
I'm smiling at you. I can feel your feistiness. I can feel your spunk.
That's right.
I can feel it. I can feel it. I'm listening.
Mm-hmm.
Listen.
You know.
All I
yeah.
gotta say is, the sun shines on the serial killer and the Pope. You've
yes,
heard me
it does.
Say that.
Mm-hmm.
And so the universe doesn't judge.
And right, that's fine. And
And so my mm-hmm. reason why I'm here is to be an example, a human example of the universe, period. And mm-hmm. I really get what you're saying. I'm softening it all the way down. I'm getting chills. I know that this bothers, and it bothered you, and it bothered you, and it bothered you. And you had to say something. You could not be silent. I get that. I totally get, I really do.
Uh-huh.
But I have to be silent now. Trust me, I had decades of not opening my mouth. Trust me.
mm-hmm.
So, but at this point in my life, I have to be silent. It's my own journey. What I have to be silent on certain things that I can feel is really a waste of breath. You know what? Talk about throwing pearls at swine. It's a waste. It's really a waste
uh-huh.
for me, not for you. For
right.
me. But anyway, so the same day while I was having breakfast, there's a woman that came in. I love you calling the show and talking to me. I really do.
Well, good. I appreciate you allowing me
what?
To express my point of view.
Always, and I love your point of view, and I love it. I really do, and I get it. I've been there, did same thing. Listen, you think anybody could talk me down? I was the queen arguer of everything. Mm-hmm. I was the one carrying the torch of a right. Anyway, back to this. So this woman came in with her mother, and her mother had this walker, and her mother was really slow. Probably in her 90s, and the mother sat down, and the woman, with her mom and the walker, and the mom, you could feel that the mom was fussing at the daughter, and the daughter was looking at me, and the mom was facing the opposite direction. So I just did a thumbs up, like, you got this, don't worry about it. You can tell when parents are giving their children grief. You can even if they're older. So I just did a thumbs up. And then a little bit later on, the mother had to go to the bathroom, so the mother even got a little walker and he was away. So then I was able to walk over to the daughter, and I said, you're doing a great job. You're a saint. She says, I don't feel like it. She said, according to my mother, she says, I'm selfish. I'm selfish. I mean, her mother just berates her. I could get that feeling, too. I mean, just berating her. Even though she was taking her mother to the restaurant to have a meal, what do you want, Mom? Her mom ordered cake for breakfast. Cake. I'm not going to make a judgment on that. I'd like to have cake for breakfast, too. Anyway, so I told the woman, I said, you're doing a great job. She says, no, my mom thinks I'm selfish, and my mom thinks I'm mean. My mom. I said, no, no, no. Now, here you go. Here you go, Richard. I mean, Robert. Here you go, Robert. I said, those words, all those mean words are for her to hear. Those words are meant for her. She's the one that's selfish. She's the one that's mean. Don't take any of that stuff personally. Don't take any of that personally. I don't care what she says to you. She needs to hear that. Those are for her. And this woman looked at me, a stranger. And now I'm getting chills again. And she said, thank you. She said, you just made my whole day. She says, because I always feel bad, like I'm not doing enough for this woman. And see, I will speak, but I'll speak when I can feel and I sense that there is a reason and openness to speak. And I'm not going to sit up here and say I changed that woman's life. That's not what I'm saying. But for that moment, she was connected and she knew that her mother's words meant nothing and they were not directed at her.
Well,
it was,
good.
It was in the same morning. So there are people that I can feel a sense of open, and then there's people that, so the universe sets everything up.
Right. And what's, in that particular case, very important for you to give that message. That was, you were obviously driven to give that message to the daughter about the mother. Now, there is also and you sense you did because you sensed the openness. Now, in some cases, you know, the idea of leaving it alone, you know, and letting it, you know, letting it situations be, you know, that you could have easily just let that go and just sit there and be an observer. But in that particular case, you decided that it was important to intervene and in a sense, convey your beliefs to that woman, to that daughter.
Mm-hmm.
No? Yeah.
Yes.
So again, if there's something that's really important and you use a distinction, and I can agree with that, is that the distinction in being able to kind of convey your beliefs or to communicate them is a reflection of the openness of the receiver.
Well, you know,
if you have
let me just back up because you used the word that's another thing that I've had to let go of. I've had to let go of thinking anything is important. And when you use the word important, when you said important, I was actually just inspired. It was like when I looked at her, I just felt like giving her a thumbs up. And it wasn't, oh, God, I think this is an important thing. But that thinking that anything is important really subtracts from that whole vibration of peace. I'm just letting you know. Let me wind it up. Guess what?
Okay.
You are right.
I know that, and so are you.
And you see what happens? Audience, I really, if anyone is listening, I know you listen. This is so important because Robert has a different way. I have a different way. But it's not and I have to say that you calling me on it allowed me to clarify even more, which I appreciate. So I'm clarifying, and I'm also saying that there is nothing that I think is important other than maintaining this foundation and this energy and this vibration of peace. But as far as looking out there and finding it's inspiration. This I had to let go of. This is important. I just don't do that. This is important thing anymore. I can't do it.
Okay.
But
you know,
you're
that's
right,
fine.
Though.
You know, inspiration, being inspired to do something or being, you know, inspired or motivated into action. That's fine. You know, to me, you know, that would be, I would receive inspiration as being important for me, you know, to me, you know, in whatever sense, you know, I mean, if it wasn't meant to influence me in any way, then I wouldn't be inspired. You know, I mean, the whole idea behind inspiration is to shift, to make a change, to be motivated, to do something. You know, I mean, inspiration without action is nothing.
Inspiration without action is nothing. That's a good belief.
Well, for me, that's. You know, because, I mean, it's like, how many people are inspired to write a book but never do it? You know, that would be a good book.
Is there something wrong with that? You're inspired to write a book and you never do it?
I never passed a judgment on it. Never did you hear me pass judgment. No. It's just, for me, you know, again, you know, without acting, you know, inspiration without action, what does it do? What is the effect of that, if not you know, an action to be followed.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I hear you.
Yeah.
I hear you.
I know you do. Anyway, I don't want to I'm taking up a lot of your time.
You know, it's that is life. And that is like even you and me has evolved and has studied and what we practice, even that level challenges acceptance of others. It's still about looking at and allowing and looking at someone else to do and be and act any way that they desire, want, choose, program to, and be okay with it. That's what the universe does. I mean, the universe
mm-hmm.
allows all of this crap to happen. And I'm just following my example of the universe. It's not an easy road, but I'm just following the universe as an example.
Yep, that's fine. Yep, and I'm following this little spark from that, you know, with this little journey. And, I think that, I'm just going to kind of leave it. I'm following my little spark, my little journey, and, you know, expression of my authenticity. And people are, you know, people do have the right to be, act, say, do, you know, whatever they want. For me, until the point they try and influence or impact my journey. And when that happens, I draw the line. Because it's my journey.
Ooh,
I choose.
Wait.
You know? Don't you? I mean,
listen,
for me, that's,
and
you know,
if it
that's
wasn't,
it.
And if it weren't for you line drawers out there, which I appreciate. I appreciate all the line drawers. I used to be a line drawer. I appreciate it. And because if it wasn't for the line drawers, certain things wouldn't be happening. So I want to thank all of you line drawers out there.
You're very welcome.
I'm serious. The same thing with
I know.
With, okay, who was that woman? She was born on my birthday. Not Harriet Tubman. The lady Rosa Parks on my birthday,
uh-huh.
December 1st. My birthday. That's when she refused to stand to go to the back of the bus, line drawer.
Right.
So things get changed with all of the, and I appreciate it. I appreciate it. I really do.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Woo!
Well,
what a show.
Everyone has a purpose. Well, thank you again.
So please share with my audience where they can find you, your station, and who you are. You can listen to Robert Sharp on Blog Talk Radio also, but give them more specifics, Robert.
Yeah, my website is biteradio.me, biteradio.me. And I recently have my podcast added to TuneIn, so the app TuneIn, so people can download the app and listen for free that way.
Oh, you know what? I did get that in the email. I'm going to have to figure out how to do that. Yeah, I did get that, too. You can listen to it.
Definitely
yeah.
Do it. It's great. I you know, recently got it on there, and it's basically in everybody's app, but also on Alexa and Google Home. And they have a great way. They have a monitoring tool, so you can tell how people are listening. And ever since I started it, I mean, it's just picked up the number of listens. It's really a great tool. So
really,
definitely follow up on that. Mm-hmm.
Can you do me a favor and just message that to me, the instructions, how to
sure.
do that, if you have time?
Not a problem. I can easily do that for you.
Okay. Thank you.
All right.
I'm so
You're challenged. Welcome.
Thank you so much, Robert.
You're welcome.
For listening.
Thank you.
I really appreciate you. You know I do. I love it when you challenge me. I mean, if it wasn't for you challenging me, I couldn't get to a deeper place of clarification of even you're forcing me to even think more so or feel more. And I appreciate you. I do.
Yep.
You know, you can feel it.
Yep. And just so those line drawers out there recognize that you're right too.
I love you line drawers, and I love you rednecks. Hey, listen, rednecks and line drawers are people too. Come on, let's not discriminate against them.
Really? Okay.
And you Republicans and you Democrats and you liberals, all of you people, I'm with you. You're not going to get an argument from me. But if you call Robert, you might get a little talking too.
No, I just I just like to express my opinion. You know, and
I know.
You know, it's different. Yeah, no. So anyway, thanks again.
So okay, now I have one last question.
Question. All right.
Has there ever been a time when you've expressed your opinion with these people that you have to say something? I'm not talking about you know, just disagreeing on stop signs. I'm talking about you were compelled to express your opinion that the other person changed their mind right in the middle of the conversation.
No, like I told you, you know, that early on.
Wait, you said no?
They did not change their opinion. Of course not.
Oh, okay.
But one of the things that did change is that word was never used again in my presence.
Mm.
That brought me a sense of, you know, peace. That did, you know, to me, it was worth expressing my opinion not to have that situation occur again.
Mm.
Now, the belief hadn't changed, and like I said at the beginning, you know, the only one that can change a belief is the person who holds it. So, you know, and that's only through education, awareness, examples, personal experience that will eventually change if they wanted to. But, you know, that, you know how deeply held beliefs are. So because they're so deeply held, it takes a lot to shift those beliefs. So, you know, it's not one person saying one thing is certainly not going to change someone's belief.
So you are in the camp of words are powerful.
Yeah, I know you had a show that words aren't, but in my opinion, words, not necessarily the word itself, but the impact that a word or words have on an individual does have a power. If it has the power to move someone or to generate a response, a reaction, that's power. Because without that person would not have had that response. So I know you had a show about words not having power, but I was busy. I couldn't call in on that one. So
that's
I had to
so
listen
funny.
To the archives on that one.
Well, listen, I'll leave it with this. And that's one of the biggest. If I look at the world, that's one of the biggest programs that is out there, being programmed to think that words are powerful. And it is a programming. It is a programming that believing that words are powerful and that a word can affect or make me feel a certain way. That it's a deep-ass programming that words are powerful. And, again, I've used the example of when I was speaking. I don't know if you heard, when I was speaking actually it was at my chiropractor's office, and a woman brought her little girl in. Little girl was walking up and down the aisle, maybe 2 years old. She was still in diapers, walking around. And I picked the little girl up and insulted her and using every kind of word you can imagine.
That. Yeah, I remember that. You're right.
Yes.
I remember that.
Calling her ugly, calling her stupid, calling your parents losers, and I put that little girl down. And she's not going to amount to anything. I could have called her any word in the book. And she, she, when I put her down, I mean, all the adults were offended. All the adults were bothered by the words that I used. I put this little girl down, and she could care less. And so know right. that that words are powerful is a programming, because we were not born with this program of words are powerful, because we were taught that words are powerful.
Okay.
Can you imagine if the world was taught that words are not powerful? Who's more powerful, the person that can be bothered by words, annoyed, affected by words, or the person that can't? See?
Okay.
And it is a programming. You were taught that words are, and let me tell you something. This is hurting my feelings, and I'm just talking about the world in general and being bothered
mm-hmm.
by words. If I had one message for everybody to know, for everybody to get, is that you were taught that words are powerful, and in fact, you can be taught that they're not, because that's what's happened
okay.
to me. It doesn't
right.
matter what word you use, what word you call me, what word you call anyone. No, you
okay.
can't get me on that.
I
one.
Just have one question. I have one question for you on that. What about
I gotta
the
go.
Words
no,
used?
I'm just kidding.
Okay,
go.
I was just going to leave you with one thought. What about the words used by that woman to her daughter?
You mean
those words,
selfish?
Those, well, the whole interaction, the words used by the mother to the daughter that led to the inspiration for you to get up and when the mother exited to go over the daughter and to talk about those words, you know, what they were. So, you know, if words absolutely had no meaning, then there would have been no reason for you to get up and go over there and talk to the daughter.
You know, this interesting thing about you is you're right again. I can't keep going back and forth. But see, if the words were hurtful to the daughter, they're not hurtful to
right.
me. They're hurtful
I
to
understand.
The daughter, and I was here to tell
right.
the daughter that those words, don't take anything that she says personally at all.
Right. I understand. But they motivated you via inspiration after hearing that and seeing that to get up and clarify for the daughter your view of the words being used.
You're right.
So anyway, I'm just saying that, you know, there are instances when words motivate us to do and be, you know, our authentic self. So anyway, thank you very much.
You're right. You see, and so audience, that's how it is. So see, it can the bat for me. I can't change what you're going to believe. I can't. I mean, I can.
No matter how I clarify.
And you know what else is interesting? You know what else is interesting now that you bring it up? This is perfect. Because even words are limiting. Words are so
mm-hmm.
limiting.
Right.
I would use the word love. And you would use the word love in two totally different ways, only because of our backgrounds, our experiences, and our, you know, our feeling, our connection with that word. So even trying to explain or trying to have someone understand my point of view or what I'm believing or what I'm feeling or my truth, if you will, it's even hard for me to do that, because I can sense and I can feel. I can feel that there is a peace when I practice what I practice, and I can feel when there is unrest and unbalance when I go and I attempt to try to or do, there's no way of doing that peacefully. There's no way of me telling someone else that they use the word and I don't like it. There's no way I'm going to get peace out of that. That's just me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to get
right.
any peace out of that. I might get a sense of fill in the blank, but I'm not going to have peace from it. Mm-mm. But some people would have peace from it. So,
that's what makes us all unique.
Yes. Uh-oh. No, there's another caller. We're trying to close the show. Hold on a second.
Okay.
Thank you so much, Robert. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Okay. Welcome to Reality Spirituality. You are on live. What's your first name?
Joe. You want to close out the show?
No, Joe. What's your question? You have a question?
Well, I'm taking a look at your headline, and you're saying belief and the need to be right. So I'm presuming that since I just got here and the bulk of your show was on way before I got here, that you probably had to talk about the psychological need for humans to be right, and especially in arguments. Now, I'm presuming that's what you did. I may be right. I may be wrong. Am I right or wrong?
A psychological need to be right, is that what you said?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, and can you expand on that, and where do you get that from? Well, there is a definite need to be right. It's a programming, quite frankly. It's a programming, a need to be right.
Well, yeah, that's something that you had explained, because as I said, I just got here. So in your description page, the headline says beliefs and the need to be right. Now, some psychologists say that a major cause of dissension within relationships are two people trying to vie for that little plateau of I'm right, you're wrong. And some people would say if you give up that particular drive to always be right, that would therefore make the tensions go away and you'd have an easier relationship. So I'm calling in to see if that's something that you had expounded upon or if you had talked about the need to be right in some other venue.
Well, you're absolutely right. That need to be right, especially when you're talking about relationships, man and women or whatever, partner, whatever kind of relationship you're talking about. You could even be mother and daughter. But that need to be right is one of the things that causes challenges in a relationship. But even more than the need to be right is the inability to accept the other person or who they are, what they are, what they believe, and how they behave. The inability to accept someone else is the only reason why I have a problem with someone. It doesn't matter who they are. It could be a loved one. It could be a coworker. It's the lack of acceptance.
The lack of acceptance of who they are or their particular philosophy or their behavior or a combination of all
three. Who they are, their philosophy. They're looking at people, look at someone else, and they want them to be different. They want them to change. This is what I used to do. I thought that the world would be a better place if more people were like me, that kind of thing.
Well, that's a possibility if you're a responsible person. If at the very least you don't encroach upon the rights of others, that would be a big step. The whole world would be a hell of a lot better if everybody was just at the very least responsible, if they acknowledged that everybody has rights to privacy, let's say, rights to be left alone, rights to their own opinion. And if people didn't try to impose their own philosophies on those other people, then the world would be a better place. But being that man and women have a particular DNA, that's not going to happen.
Okay. Well, how about this? It's not going to happen. Well, let me say that I've been both. I've been non-accepting, and I wanted my significant other to change, and I didn't, wanted them to be different. Mm-hmm. And I'm telling you right now that any relationship that I get into, regardless of what it is, I'm going to be accepting of the other person. And so you say it's not going to happen. So we're talking about belief. That's one of your strong beliefs. It's not going to happen. And I'm here to say that the only way that the world is going to change, the only way that the world is going to be more peaceful, is if people look in the mirror and they make that change themselves. People look in the mirror, and when they walk out of their houses, that their energy is peace. Their energy is acceptance. Their energy is to be open. Their energy is to, their vibration is to not be closed, to be open to new ideas, to other ways of thinking and belief. So it's really a one-on-one thing, and I do believe that the world changes with one person changing. So it comes back to the person in the mirror. Are you willing not just you, but are you willing to change? Are you willing to be different? Are you willing to grow? Are you willing to
well,
not?
Well, yeah, of course, everybody.
So,
a lot of people
so
will say
me,
that they
so
are.
You tell me, mm-hmm. how you're different and how you're different than you were 6 months ago, or how you're contributing to the world.
By being responsible. I have boundaries. I accept people if they're responsible. If they're not responsible, I don't have to accept them. I don't have to accept their responsible behavior, boorish behavior. People who don't know how to stay in their own place, if you're two co-workers, one's very loud all the time, and if you ask him or her to calm it down because there are other people in the workplace, and that person doesn't, that person has to go. The workplace doesn't have to adjust to a loudmouth, doesn't have to adjust to boorish behavior. There is a certain civilized behavior that people have to do, and if people don't adhere to it, they got to go. So I don't accept people who, again, are irresponsible. Now, if you have a different ideology than mine, if you believe in a different religion, have a different belief in a God, that's a different story. But behavior patterns are very important. There are people who are contentious simply because they're, who knows, frustrated in their mother, frustrated about life. The kids that committed the massacres on the school grounds, they weren't happy kids. Happy people do not commit murders. They don't go around bothering other people. It's the people who are frustrated, unhappy in their own skin who do that. Now, it's easy to say, well, you know, if everybody took a look in the mirror, well, of course, that's a very worthwhile goal. But as solutions go, since people aren't willing to do it, excuse me, because of whatever they either have suffered or believe they've suffered, it's not going to happen.
Well, you're right about that. I'll give you that. I really will. And I really appreciate you calling in, and thank you for your input. It was really important. We are going to close the show. The show has been gone on a little bit long, but I invite you to listen every Sunday, 9 a.m. I have a different topic and Pacific Standard Time, and I really appreciate you calling in and speaking. I would love to have you call in again. Thank you so much, Joe, for contributing to the show.
All right. Take care now.
You too. And so what I want to say is that it's up to us just to see a change, and just like Joe said, how many people are going to do that? But you want to inspire the world, you want the world to change. I'm telling you, folks, it's up to each individual to look in the mirror and change. Reality Spirituality is heard every Sunday at 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. My website, RebeccaNorrington.com. That's RebeccaNorrington.com. Follow me on Twitter at RL Norrington. Instagram handle is Reality Spirituality. YouTube channel is out there. Yes, I added a couple of YouTube videos. My first book, Reality Spirituality, The Truth About Happiness, can be purchased on Amazon and or lulu.com. My second book, Program for Unhappiness, I'm writing it right now, and until next time, my dear audience, I want you to remember who you are. You are a physical extension of the universe. You're always evolving. You're always changing. You're always growing. Be patient and be kind to yourself. Be your own best friend. Remember, you cannot have a happy ending to an unhappy journey. You've been listening to Reality Spirituality. Thank you for listening.
Yeah, oh, it's time to get real. Oh, yeah.
Reality Spirituality.
It's a new experience.
Reality Spirituality.
Yeah, keep your ears open for this one.
Reality Spirituality.
You got a question for RLM?
Reality Spirituality.
Yeah, it's time to get some.
Spirituality.
Yeah, time to get down.
Spirituality. Dr. J.
Yeah, you're going to feel good.